You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. Well, we have some exciting guests with us.
We do.
We should just give an honorable mention to the fact that this is Mom's first time on The Kylo Show.
Are you kidding me?
How about that? Finally arrived.
I know. Woo. Sherry Silk is on The Kylo Show.
There we go. Watch out. You never know what I'm going to say.
I know.
It's true.
This is an uncontrollable situation.
I have stories.
So many stories. But we brought you all here because there's some fun things happening.
Drum roll. Come on, Ben.
I'm not...
There it is.
Left hand, too.
Little known fact is Ben is a drummer.
Yes. It's true.
Please don't ask me a drum. It's been too long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I love it.
Was it Akadaka? Who was it?
What?
What are we talking about?
No.
They had a drummer. AC/DC? Yeah. Akadaka?
No. It was a youth band.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I played in youth. I played for a long time. Yeah. And then I played for one person and... And that I wasn't at that level anymore. I won't say who.
And I got sat down for a decade.
Welcome to the Kylo Show, guys. This is today's podcast.
We should drum roll again.
What's happening, Brittany?
Well, I brought all these wonderful people onto the Kylo Show because we are announcing something exciting.
Very.
I wrote a
long
book.
Long awaited.
Wow.
Ta-da. I don't even know.
If you're listening,
it's like your
fourth
child. If
you're watching, you can see it.
Yeah, it looks listening. Great. It's called Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection. And it comes out this Mother's Day.
May. So proud of you.
I think.
Just saying, I'm so proud of you. Yes.
Long awaited.
So cool.
Yes, it is. It's kind of crazy. It's a little intimidating to write a parenting book after like the parenting book was written.
Oof.
Yeah.
Dare to Discipline by Dr. Dobson.
What book are you talking
about? I've never read that one.
I
meant your parenting book.
Oh.
But yeah, so we are excited to announce and have this new book join our bookstore and the Loving on Purpose community and family. It is it's called Imperfect Parenting because that's been probably my struggle more than anything and what I've learned. But I wanted to bring Ben. Obviously, he's the other side of this parenting journey I'm on.
Imperfection. The other side of the side.
You and I, we're imperfect together, baby.
Aren't we all? Together we make.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And my parents, you know, they are...
The source of this imperfection.
There is no perfect parent. That's your point.
That is the point. Yes. Oh, hopefully you're in for a ride because we'll get to be entertaining. But that was, you know, my heart in having Mom on here is really just to add to the journey of parenting and you knowing where you come from and all of that and then what you choose to produce because you guys have a very different story than Ben and I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You chose differently, but you were given quite a bit different than what we had starting out. So, but yeah, there is no perfect parent and there's no perfect human and there's no perfect children.
And yet there's some sort of standard of perfection,
yeah.
You know, like an expectation that you are going to figure it all out and you're going to do everything because you love these people. You're going to do everything right. And then you beat yourself up so bad when you mess it up and you watch yourself do it twice, five times. You're like, gosh, why do I keep doing this?
Yeah.
And it's a mirage that you're going to get it all right. It's just, you know, doctors and lawyers make giant money practicing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we parents are supposed to just out of the box get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember planning for a wedding. Just was such a big deal, you know, and then we had you like a year later, 1 week after our
there
first anniversary.
There was a whole lot of planning that went into that.
And like all you really need is diapers and some blankets. There's just so much goes into these events in our life. But when you add a child, you have no idea what's going to be required of you. And there's really... You can plan. You can have the perfect nursery. You could have the perfect everything. And then they arrive. and you find yourself in school.
Definitely. School for sure.
The tests come first and yeah. then the lessons. Yeah.
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 All the learning lessons. What do you, I mean, I wrote Imperfect Parenting. That's my journey. That's also kind of what I've run into a lot with working with parents is this need for perfection. But what's something that you guys feel like you were struggling with or was imperfect? Something that was in your mind trying to do it right? Just, is there any moments that you remember of wading through that?
Marriage.
Lots of that.
I think we were trying to do both. Our big challenge was marriage, really. Like, okay, we have children. You know, we have a baby. We have two babies. We have three babies. But the thing that kind of we were working so hard on was the idea of how do we do this together forever, you know? And that kind of shifted our attention to the whole idea of connection. Like, we have got to figure out how to connect, stay connected, fight for connection, and then in turn that all translated into the value that we have for connection with our children. And here we are, umpteen years later.
Umpteen.
Well, it's part of, it's, we passed the teens. 30, yeah. We passed the teens. We're like
30, almost 39.
We're sneaking up on a 40. Yeah.
And you're not there yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, I think your personal journey and your parenting journey are happening at the same time. So you're offering, nobody's out to ruin their kids. Like, I don't know one parent that goes, wow, you know what? I'd really like to mess up my kid or something. No one thinks that, but you are you at that given moment in your life. And so whatever you have going on, whether it's hard things, marriage, tools, anything, you know, just your learning curve, you're trying to give your child the very best version of you at that moment. And they're only going to get what you're capable of. And so the idea of you know, you're the best parent for your kid. We know that. Everybody's, you're that parent. God designed it. You're the best one. But you have to grow. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, I'm stuck or this is hard and then just sit there. So I think, you know, your personal journey has to keep moving forward as you are a parent so that they keep getting the very best version of you. And for us, there was just so many obstacles, so many things that we had to deal with personally, our personal growth path. And we were on them separately. You know, we're individuals, so we had different issues. And we just had to just keep
own it.
Forging on, keep. And there was people around us not making that. You know, like you started out saying you made some choices, and we did. We made them and hunkered in and kept going. And some people give up because it is really hard. But you have to keep choosing to grow.
It's fortunate that your mother's so stubborn.
Yes.
I will not give
Danny
up.
Is, I call him quietly defiant because he's really quiet about it, but you can see the heel marks drug in the dirt behind him. I'm much more loud when I'm
defiant.
Well,
we are both strong-willed children.
You grew up.
And so we have...
For survival reasons.
Yeah, but it really took some commitment, determination, fortitude, resilience, grit, you know, all the stuff to translate it into our equal commitment to being parents that are going to walk with our kids through thick and thin for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys have such a marriage story that is in the, I guess, in the heat of becoming parents as well. Yeah. We have a similar, it's not as intense. Mm. I think that's the goal of every next generation. It's a little bit more mild. It's a little bit more mild. But, I mean, we had to learn how to fight for connection to understand how important that goal was in our marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, just I'm sitting here looking at this book cover, which is just exciting. It says Britney Serple on it.
It does.
It's pretty cool.
It doesn't say Britney Silk. It says Britney Serple.
It says Britney, well,
that's you.
I just meant it's your name. Yeah. It's pretty cool that you named that book. But the thing I keep thinking about is theory is nice to have. And even universities are full of theory. But you have to go practice. And I think, you know, I got introduced to the Silk Clan and early on and these great ideas and things that I was like, that's who I am. That's what I want to live in. But it was a bunch of theory until I ran into a person named Brittany and then Delaney.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think, you know, I, as I was reading this title again, Imperfect Parenting, I was thinking about early days with Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we were trying to work it out, you and I, mm-hmm. and then we had Delaney early on as well. So I had these two
intense women,
deep lessons happening at the same time.
I know your pain.
Right. So, but I was thinking about, you know, I'm in the house of the people who wrote the book on parenting, and I'm meant to be perfect in front of them, because they're telling the world how to parent well, and I had to go figure that thing out. Because I think my anxiety was always so jacked up that I have to do it right or well or the way they said or something. And so just the journey to talk about, I had to go on a journey of there's no expectation that anyone's putting on me. Mm-hmm. There's just this thing that I keep putting on myself that I think is there.
Yeah.
So it's just a different part of the journey, which I think it brings me to the point of, I think we're often so concerned about what people think, especially as parents.
Oh, yeah.
Even as spouses, we're so concerned about what other people are going to say or think or believe mm-hmm. that we actually stop or create a wrong direction fight. So.
And it tells us a little bit about how we look at other parents, you know, because we look at other parents like, would you do something about that child? You know, somebody needs to control that kid right there. You know, there is to the degree that I am projecting that, I'm also absorbing that.
Right.
So there's a, you know, there's an empathy, especially once you have adult children. Once you get to adult children, you have this brand new empathy for all parents. You're like,
we're almost there.
Yeah, it's almost coming. There. It's coming. There is a reality check that hits you as parents of adult children.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. is, you know, people say, oh, toddlers are so hard.
I take a toddler in a
second. You know? You wait. You just wait. And this is, you know, part of the maturing
mm-hmm.
of love.
Yeah.
Like it's how do we protect this connection with no power? You can't pick them up. You can't, you know, you can't turn the Wi-Fi off. This, none of that stuff matters. You have zero power except in the value that the both of you hold for the relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the art and dance of that through thick and thin is really what you're working as a parent to achieve long into your twilight years.
I know that, you know, looking back at baby Delaney, who's almost 18, and all that she gave us in the early years, and then we had Adeline, who like was nothing. She just didn't.
She came on strong though.
She did once she decided to. She did come on strong.
Yeah.
And I think the hard part in those early years of parenting is, like you said, toddlers. Everyone that's living in the toddler years, they're just trying to survive them. And then you get to middle or, you know, elementary age, and there's different things there. I'm in middle school and high school, and we haven't faced adult yet. But I do think that one thing I'm so grateful you guys gave me, which I think Ben got to reap the benefits of, was the sooner that we could figure out the value of connection, the more successful we're going to be as a family. And, you know, we had to figure that out in marriage, which Ben had to learn how to, I think you phrased it as tame the dragon or confront the dragon. So
a T-Rex, I've heard. A T-Rex used.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was just a dragon. So
I remember that drive, that conversation.
And but which was all very true, because as soon as Ben could confront me, I felt safe, mm-hmm. which is very odd.
You should say that again.
to remind you.
Not just for me.
There's some revelation there. Good, confront
That's
me.
That's good to hear again.
I did feel safe. We just said, told this to a young marriage group that we're leading, to all these young couples, is if you're married to a strong woman, she needs to feel safe. And if you are passive, she does not feel safe. And so much of that in building this little family. I just remember Delaney as a newborn and feeling out of control of, I've never done anything like this. You know, I'm babysit kids all the time. Everyone wants my advice and as far as how to pick a babysitter or what to do in babysitting. I'm like, I'm so confident. Oh my gosh, I'm either going to ruin this child's life or I'm going to lose my mind. That's how this feels. But again, when Ben showed up, I felt safe. We had the same goal of connection. Everything starts changing dramatically. And it just feels like that's a piece that I want parents to understand is, you know, connection is going to be the sweet spot for success in your marriage if you find that, and then also with your kids, because that's the place where we gain influence, is when we feel connected. And it's often just overlooked because I'm drowning in the sea of choices.
I think the other side of it is, you know, we had a different context for our parenting. Mm-hmm. We had a different society.
Yeah.
We had a different culture. We were coming out of some stuff, you know, so we still smelled like smoke for a long time, you know, coming out of a much of what we learned, we spent unlearning and then digging around for tools and building a new toolbox. Yeah. That, you know, that burned up a lot of time. So we spent a lot of time in that phase of parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlearn, relearn, retool. Mm-hmm. That was a chunk of...
Yeah, it's like learning a new language in a way. I mean, we even... letting our kids on purpose, tools and phrases and all that stuff. We didn't just pick that up. You know, it was like even using the term, you know, valuing connection was what? You know, we're connected.
Mm-hmm. In case people don't know what when you refer to coming out of the smoke or still smelling like smoke, what is it that you came from that for anyone that doesn't know this?
Well, if you haven't heard this story, this is, you know, sitting here, our parents and Sherry's stepfather, you know, those five people represent 15 marriages. Yeah. Each of them was married three times. So there's children, you know, sprayed throughout that.
Yes.
In various relationship dynamics. Mm-hmm. And those are just the people that our folks married. That doesn't include the people that lived in our homes and or, you know, were a significant part of our lives than no longer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that'll jack a guy up. You know, that'll mess with your expectation of what things are supposed to look like in a family.
Yeah. We talked about, you guys talked about confronting, you know, and Danny had to learn and grow in that area of confronting me. But when that happened, I grew up in a unhealthy, confrontive family, yelling, screaming, six brothers, you know. Oh, so when Danny would confront me, I'd be like, I got this. This game on. Let's go. Let's rumble.
I know how to play this
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I know how to.
I know how to make this worse.
I know how to really hurt you really bad with my words. I grew up. This is old school for me. But so we both had different lessons to learn from. It wasn't just, you know, we grew up in broken homes and all of that. But it was also, you know, personality, our personality types and the dysfunction of certain parts of that personality, and then also survival skills. How did I was a aggressive, you know, that was survival for me, and his was more of a passive retreat, kind of become a small target. Mm-hmm. Mine was like come out with a
T-Rex
a weapon or something, and then birth order. He's oldest. I'm the youngest. So all those things, you know, even we use things like Enneagram and all that stuff nowadays, Strength Finders, DISC. Those are tools to help take a look at yourself. Mm-hmm. And those are important things to do. They're not black and white. They're facets of a personality. But I think that has a lot to do with it too. We were, you know, my stepdad is my stepdad since I was six. Mm-hmm. So he raised me. And, but there, because I had a stepdad at six tells you that I was abandoned pretty much as a young, like I never really was allowed to see my dad starting at age one. So I have no memory of living with my real father. So there's just all these dynamics that are rolling into our relationship. And then we had a baby right away. So
wanted me to have a front row seat too.
Honestly, it was the Lord that you were with us so soon. Cause we were believers. I was just talking about this morning with someone, but we had radical transformation when we got saved. It was a radical transformation. Like I once was darkness, mm-hmm. I am now light. And so we were doing that, and we had a baby, so we had this value of we're not getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up with my parents screaming every night, let's get a divorce. In fact, us kids were cheering them on because we were so sick of the fighting and the violence in the home and all that stuff. But we never said that. We didn't ever do that. We thought it probably, and we felt very stuck and wondered how we were going to ever make it through. But we didn't play with that. It was like a little black widow spider that we didn't take out of the box and play with because we knew that's not what we wanted. But it was really hard. But we chose it over and over and over and over until we got out of the woods.
Yeah. Yep. It was, and we had amazing people modeling what it looked like.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had an example of that we did not have in our families. We couldn't look in our families and go, that's what I want right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the opposite. It was like, okay, how do I not do that? How do I not do that? How do I not do that? So to not do something for very long becomes your target.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes your example. Mm-hmm. And you end up doing that. That's what unforgiveness is all about, is I'm never going to do that. I'll never be like them. I'll never do that to my kids. I'll never say those things. And then you end up doing exactly that because you didn't replace it with, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And we had just wonderful examples around us from the time we got saved. You know, we had just covenant people all around us. That was the vast majority. There were a few folks that, you know, called it quits and, you know, went in a different direction. But the culture of what we came into was people that are going to be married for 40, 50, 60 years. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, you know, my grandparents were married for 54 years, but I didn't live around them. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of mythical people in my life. You know, like they were perfect parents. They were the perfect people that, you know, I loved them and they were an example, but it was kind of like watching TV, kind mm-hmm. of an example. But our Mountain Chapel.
Let's take it way back.
You know?
Weaverville.
Yeah, it was actually called Calvary Chapel. It was an Assemblies of God church, but it was called Calvary Chapel. That group imprinted us and, so though we were geese, we thought we were ducks.
I think they were great examples. I wouldn't say that. I mean, that was one obvious benefit of that covenant relationship. But they didn't teach us the tools and the skills because they were modeling it. But they didn't sit down and go, don't do this, do this. Because they were raised differently and they were living out their legacy of peace in the home. But so we had to go get it, is my point. Yeah.
I know that, you know, you just referenced kind of the spiritual leaders in your life once you guys got saved, you know, the I think a lot of families that want to do something better than what they had before have a hard time remembering that they're still good that their parents did give them, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've heard both of you talk about the work ethic that both your parents instilled in you just by, you know, their hard work and just showing up and, you know, all of that they gave there. And really, they had massive love for you, but they had such dysfunction and not knowing the Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a, but I think about, I'm really grateful that they instilled hard work in you because I feel it's part of your stubbornness, maybe, is your ability to just, we're going to keep working on this. So thanks, grandparents, for that. Mm-hmm. And but it is a, it's a wild thing because the people ask me all the time, what's it like being the daughter to Danny Silk? And I always say, he's not as loud as you think he is. He's actually really quiet. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about that you guys gave me, which you all talk about your parents because mm-hmm. I wasn't there.
True. This is the good news.
Yeah.
It's the good news that you have brother and sister. Yeah.
That's a whole different podcast.
But I think, you know, you said earlier it took some time for you guys to figure it out, which you always say different years. One says 12, the other says 15 or something like that. You do have. So I mean, I was in the throes of all of, you know, your worst days. Mm-hmm. But I remember them probably more than the boys do. But I know your better days even louder because there's something to compare it to, I think, where I don't know that the boys remember it like that. But I just think the priority of our family is really important and the willingness to hear that when we needed to share it. Like, I think that was always a safe enough space to go and say, I'm hurt or I'm sad or I'm scared. Maybe it was watching you guys practice figuring out how to do that between the two of you that finally made it to where I feel like I was able to do that growing up. And, you know, I mean, the value for growth, I think, is another huge thing that has been instilled in my life is that searching for how do you keep growing and how do you keep improving yourself? You know, we are not ever going to be perfect, but the goal is to continually be growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
the connection over perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like our toolbox started getting filled up when, in essence, we got involved in a ministry. You know, Ramey Vista was a ministry that put a couple of 25-year-olds in care of teenage juvenile delinquents. You're like,
sounds like a really good plan.
Who came up with this idea? But we knew chaos. You know, we knew dysfunction. We so understood these kids. You know, mm-hmm. we're like, oh yeah, we get you. But we didn't have tools. And so we had either jump into dysfunction or figure this out. So that really was kind of the rocket fuel to us getting out of that. You know, I started going to school, started pursuing a degree in social work. And so it wasn't too long before I was doing parent training, foster parent training, love and logic parenting, which a whole bunch of you know, loving our kids on purpose stuff was love and logic. But the emphasis on the connection and introducing the kingdom, you know, like this is how our Father leads us. That was a target. That was like, okay, this is what we're going to do instead of this is what we're not going to do. This is what we're going to do. And when Mom says that, you know, the people that, you know, were spiritual leaders to us, they were really setting a standard, but they did not have the dynamic that we had or the history that we had. And they didn't need the, you know, they didn't need the impact wrench to get those nuts off. You know, we were like, you know, they could use a ratchet. We're like, we really, you know, we had some, we had to get the big power tools, and it really strengthened us.
Yeah. Hey, Brittany here. Yes, you normally hear me on The Kylo Show, but I am interrupting The Kylo Show right now to tell you about my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, is coming out Mother's Day. So check that out. But before that, I've got a conference happening. I know, at the beginning of May. May's gonna be great. So if you wanna come to the conference with all of my friends, Seth Dahl, Lauren and Jason Valentin, Danny Silk, all these wonderful people are coming, make sure you go to imperfectparenting.co to find out the details, and hopefully I see you there.
To answer your question about my parents, and I think the two things I've been thinking about knowing this question's coming is I think my parents modeled sacrifice really well. You know, I was thinking about my sister did gymnastics. She probably almost went to the Olympics because my mother just was relentless in showing up for her. I was really good at basketball when I was younger.
Like drumming?
Like drumming. Thanks, Sherry.
Oh, Ben, you got an arrow.
You're a great drummer now. Right here.
Oh, good. Thanks. See, I'm comparing myself. Oh, I'm an imperfect drummer. But just there was those moments, and then just watching her in the house, and even my dad, and those memories as a young kid, he would leave at 3 a.m. to catch a train to get to the city to go to work. Mm-hmm. And he just had this sacrificial love for us that showed up in that way. Mm-hmm. So it was that piece that I probably didn't understand as a child very much, but looking back going, they were giving so much. And just that sacrificial example, it's like, okay, that's partly what love looks like. There's gaps in there and there's tools I didn't understand. That the connection language I got when I got here. Mm-hmm. But I think the other piece is they taught me how to keep God the source. And I've gone on a journey. I've had good days and bad days, but that's been kind of the thing that stuck mm-hmm. with me my whole life. I think I've always said I've loved the church, and I love being involved in the church and serving. And I was telling someone the other day, I remember my first time preaching was 14 years old, and it was John 3:16, and I did it at youth, and the pastor said, "Come do it on Sunday night." And but I just love being around that because my parents modeled this so well. I get up in the morning and they're both sitting in that bed reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. And there's just this thing that they helped develop inside of me that I just cannot shake, nor do I want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think it's those things for me I think about that I want my kids to see in us as well. Mm-hmm. And then you add all this stuff that I've learned meeting you people that's so valuable and so helpful.
Yeah. So I mean, I've seen your when we've been over there, your mom, you know, with her cup of tea in the morning and her Bible, and your dad with his oatmeal. In his Bible, and you know that, so I've seen that as coming into the family and sacrifice. You know, you guys coming over here when you were you came to America, experienced school of ministry from Bethel, went back and told them about it, and then they said, "Let's all do it." So again, they just have figured out how do we sacrifice, you know, the conveniences of our life for what we believe is God's saying or has favor on. So that is very true. It's interesting, you know, I don't think there's very many parents that have adult children that are sitting down talking about, okay, what did you give us that we are recreating, wanting to recreate, or don't want to recreate? Yeah. You know, because I think that's you two are leaders for families all over the world. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I might not want to do it exactly how I was brought up is baffling to people. I'm like, no, we didn't start out like this, guys. You got to realize they didn't start out what you're seeing right now. They had to go on a road just as much as we do. And I think for our kids, you know, I'm really grateful because, you know, Mom, you and I had a harder struggle in my early teen years or mm-hmm. younger years because I was spitfire, as are you. And your learning journey and my just being a child, disrespectful, just clashed like crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been pretty aware of that in my upbringing or in my parenting of our girls, like, okay, let's, how do I not do that one again? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, you know, there's definitely, I don't have as much Spitfire girls as I probably was. So that's, yeah, it's cheating right there. But, you know, I was with the middle one and I was thinking, I'm really curious too. If you're gonna be more like me as we get older, because you are so much fun right now. I'm having so much fun with you. Oh, hold thy tongue, Brittany. Don't say anything. But it's I think back to, okay, I have grown because of my parents, so I get to bring something different to this dynamic, and I'm really grateful for it. And I know that my girls and our son will do the same. But it is interesting to think about. Okay, what are we learning from? And the interesting part of all of this is that we're all in the same house. Yes. So you guys are watching if it's working or not, if we're improving our skills or not. So,
yeah, not everyone knows that, I guess, but we all live in a very big house. And it used to be, we used to travel so much.
I say too.
When we first started all living together, Danny and I were on the road 150, 160.
If not more.
More me and then him more on the road a year. So
they thought it was their house.
They thought it was. It is their house. But the point is that we, you know, it was silly to have two mortgages and we, you know, we all pulled together. And then we still are still choosing to do that. But yeah, I mean.
It was like we visited. Got, we come over to visit for a few months at a time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
Christmas and Easter.
It's fun to watch you and your kids.
Yeah,
and
we are super impressed. impressed.
I mean, even I mean, I'm sure your sisters and Brittany's brothers are like. I said, because you're the only grandchild producers for us. And the boys are like, we don't want to, we could really screw that up. Like, they have like the perfect kids. And we had kids, we could really mess that up. Taylor, if you're listening, Levi. But I said, it's not a comparison. Mm-hmm. You'd be you and all that. But
all of that.
You both do well. And I remember when we first met Ben, even your parents are good people. And we knew that right away. Mm-hmm. So when you guys were getting married super, super young, that was one of the things we actually saw as a super plus, that your parents were good, solid Christian people that were going to stay close and work it out and definitely a benefit.
So that's why you said yes to
that's one of the reasons.
It's the character of your parents.
I don't think we, you know, control is an illusion when your child's 18 and 19, but yes, that was definitely important to us.
That's great.
And loved
it. And we, you know, we have the firsthand experiential observation with you guys, you know, so it's not like we are biased opinionators here, you know. We're like, we experience, we share air, you know. I mean, with all five of you. And it's absolutely delightful. I mean, I don't know any kids like these, really. Mm-hmm. You weren't kids like this. We didn't raise kids like this. You guys are doing such a wonderful job, which, you know, which gives you the authority to write a book like this. You know, it's full of stories. It's full of, the application of your toolbox. But it's really so much more about the culture, this beautiful culture that you've created in your family. We always, you know, we definitely are not the parents.
Yep.
You know, we are the grandparents, which is kind of like,
I have to remind you.
There's a whole, I call them our kids.
Like they're not
our kids, because I want some dang credit over here. But I want, you know, that's what
they're
I'm
not
thinking.
Your kids.
But you know, we there's the catcher and there's the umpire and then there's the backstop. You know, and it's like, okay, we're the backstop. If the ball gets past all y'all, we end up like, okay, enough. And if Mimi and Papa ever say enough, that ball stops. You know, we pulled it out a couple times. But for the most part, we just watch you guys play the game.
You know, I was telling Brittany on the drive here today, I have this memory of sitting down with all four of my grandparents. Now three of them have passed away and gone to heaven. But it was just me and them in a living room one day, and I got to hear their stories. And it was just wild, and I'll tell it one day longer. But the thing that I was thinking about as you're talking is the legacy I got to hear and the things they did that set up us grandkids for where we are today was just so valuable. Mm-hmm. And so just listening to you both even talk, I'm thinking that there's experiences that our children are having because of what Danny and Sherry have done and Rob and Linda Serple. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just so valuable and so powerful that the backstop's there.
Right.
Because you've prepared the field. So on behalf of the book, thank you.
Yeah. I think about, you know, Ben comes from a family of generations of Christians, mm-hmm. which is not the case in our house. You guys are the first generation to really invite the Lord into this process of marriage, covenant, family. And it's just a funny thing also is, you know, I married internationally, which is fairly rare. And, you know, your family grew up with such a heart for missions. Mm-hmm. And we travel, and you guys have traveled internationally. So I look at my kids and go, you guys are a rare little breed.
Yeah.
You've been to Australia multiple times, and you've had chocolates from all over the place. Your favorite is, you know, the ones that come from Norway or Sweden, you know. Yeah. And it's just an amazing thing, like Ben saying, that our kids are been exposed to is the thing of legacy and just the value that every family has legacy, you know, and to even look and search for your legacy, like what is it that you have that your family is representing, and what is it that God has gifted you, and is connection in that legacy in one way or another, and just even searching for it and clinging to it, saying, okay, maybe it didn't look how I wanted it to look, but God's design for family has always been the priority, and he's laced in every crazy, chaotic situation, and connection is in there. So what is the legacy that you have as your own family?
Mm-hmm.
So
it's awesome.
Not being afraid to look at it. Mm-hmm. I love that, like you said, because sometimes we think if we don't look at it, it's not there. that's a lie, just saying. And so being able to look at your family and figure out what is the good and what is hard and what you want to change is an excellent way to create what you want, mm-hmm. Not being afraid to look at it. So it's just vulnerable. It's so vulnerable. We're talking about connection. Having connection as a goal means vulnerability is part of your everyday life, being able to take what you're feeling inside and share it on the outside so another person has a clue. That is a learned skill. And it doesn't ever really get easy. Mm-hmm. It's like the more heated the problem, the more vulnerable you feel talking about it. But if you want to live in a state of connection, you have to be vulnerable and do the work.
Yeah. So we were sitting down at a table with our kids, I don't know, their school overseers or some their leaders in their school that they're at. And Delaney observed this thing that we had when we went to an event. And I think the heart and goal of the exercise was to produce connection for the families. But the way it was executed, don't think that translated. Mm. And it was really, really fun talking about legacy, to watch her be able to articulate what she knows the heart was of this person and what the goal was and where it fell short, and even try and help give solutions to how to produce connection in families. And it's just really fun to look at, you know, what you guys have given us, what Rob and Linda have given Ben, and what we've chosen to protect and, you know, rebuild our Legos with the Legos that we had. That's kind of what it feels like. We've got this tub of Legos.
You do have a lot of Legos.
We have a lot of Legos.
Figuratively,
it's an inheritance.
Clearly.
But to say that, to see it showing up, that our nearly 18-year-old senior in high school saying, you know, I know the heart is for families to have connection. What if it looked like this? Mm-hmm. What if you said it like this, mm-hmm. you know, to her peers? And it's just a beautiful fruit of you. When you make something a priority in your house and you put attention to it and you're not led by fear, but you're led by love, the fruit starts to show up. Mm-hmm. It was fun to watch.
Imperfect parenting.
Imperfect parenting. Yeah. Guys, it really happened. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun. It's very fun. It's also, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous at the same time. All right. Well, we are going to talk a lot more about this in the episodes coming up with different people and maybe a few more of the same people. But I'm excited. So thanks for joining us on The Kylo Show. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.